The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Or NFL draft less than 2 weeks from today, there's an entire class of quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends that are ready to come in, leave their mark, and disrupt the next decade of fantasy football. And today, we're sitting down with John Chapman from 49ers Rush. John is an absolute wizard when it comes to NFL film study and incoming rookie analysis, and we're going to talk all things NFL draft and how it's going to impact the next decade of fantasy football, and we're going to do it right here, right now, on In the Trenches by Basement Brewed Fantasy Football. Enjoy. What is up, everybody? What is up? Welcome to episode 3 of In the Trenches by Basement Brewed Fantasy Football. This is my first time doing this live, and I have no idea how to do StreamYard. This is the first time I've ever seen like my own intro music in the middle of everything, so I'm kind of thrown off already. But what is up, everybody? Welcome in. Please welcome my very special guest. And by the way, before I get to the guest of honor, John Chapman, I want to talk about Tanner real quick. So on the right, you see Tanner Dawson. If you've ever watched any of my episodes of Inside the 20 or In the Trenches, all of the magic, all everything that makes it pretty, that's Tanner. He's the magician behind the scenes making everything awesome. All I do is flip the camera on and just start talking fantasy football. So Tanner's here. Tanner's super knowledgeable when it comes to fantasy football, all things football. Big Chiefs guy, which...
Big Chiefs guy.
The other guy here that we're not going to want
to hear. That hurts.
Isn't going to want to hear. We got John Chapman here in the middle. So John and I go way back, dude. John and I go back to the Eat Sleep Fantasy days. Great podcast over there. John's he's an absolute magician when it comes to film study, rookie analysis. And today we're going to talk all things NFL draft and what it means for fantasy football. Chap, what's up, buddy? How you doing?
Man, I'm glad to be here. And, you know, I feel like, man, Mikey, it's been almost like a decade, right? Like, it's been a minute since we were back there. But that's all right. We're not going to bore people with that. This draft class, and I feel like I'm excited to talk about, because, you know, we do Niners on my show almost exclusively. But sometimes there's some fun carryover. And so, you know, talking, you know, quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, tight ends. The 49ers have some needs in those areas, so there's a lot of overlap there. This is going to be fun. Excited to talk a little bit of fantasy because I love fantasy. It's always a blast. So excited to be here, man.
So, yeah, dude. So for anybody listening, Chap's in a bunch of my best ball leagues that I do, a couple of which have like keeper potential, and John's always the guy who's getting rookies way ahead of everybody else, and I'm like, ah, shoot, always. That's somebody I should be looking at. So.
Always. Puka Nacua, baby. I got him in every one of your leagues.
Open. So if anybody has questions along the way, we're just going to be three dudes in the basement talking, you know, football, NFL draft, fantasy football. So feel free to drop them in there. Tanner, thank goodness Tanner's going to be the guy keeping an eye on everything that's going on in there. Tanner, man, I haven't given you the floor yet. How you doing today, brother?
You're good. I'm great. It's Friday. It's in the end of afternoon here. Chap, I got to ask, man, what's this hashtag CC that we're getting spammed with right now?
Yeah, so every time we go live, we do a hashtag CC. It's Countdown Crew. And so it's just a way to get people involved, and we do giveaways and all that kind of stuff, which, by the way, I got to let everybody know, I have a whole stack of giveaways that I have to do that I've been a little late on, so I apologize. So if you're a past winner, just letting you know, those will be going out very, very soon. Once I get my draft book done this weekend, then I'll be sending that stuff out. So that's coming out.
Very awesome. Very awesome.
Yeah. Chap's been a pretty busy dude over the last few. That's what happens when your 49ers get to the Super Bowl, man. It delays the time that you get to start working on rookie content.
It's a wonderful problem. It is a wonderful problem to have. I will say that.
Heck yeah, man. All right, dude. Let's dive in, dude. All right. So the marriage here, right? Chap is obviously a big 49ers guy, big incoming rookie guy. For anybody listening, I know we obviously got a lot of Chap's audience here. I'm Mikey Henninger. I own Basement Brood Fantasy Football. I'm a big fantasy football guy. So we're going to connect the dots today. We're going to talk about pretty much the next decade of fantasy football and the incoming crop of rookies. Let's start this thing off with quarterbacks, dude. I heard there's a pretty good one that's going to go number one overall. Does that sound about right?
Caleb Williams. And I know, like, the funny thing is every single year this happens where there's a clear cut one, Caleb Williams is him. And the longer that you are this clear cut one, you get these like wackos on the side that just want to like tear down. And I get it. I understand it happens every year, but like, I will say this, and I'm not, and the funny thing is, I can't stand USC, and I hate Oklahoma even more. I'm a Longhorn, and my bias definitely creeps into whatever else. Caleb Williams would be my number one pick over the last decade of drafts. If it was him and Andrew Luck, then that would be a wonderful conversation to have. But I'm taking Caleb Williams over any quarterback that has come out of the draft in a long time. My number one last year was CJ Stroud, and a bunch of people kept telling me I was crazy. And I was like, I think I'm pretty good there. That turned out to be right. I've had some misses for sure, but Caleb Williams, I'm sorry. I just, that dude's him. And whoever gets him, clear cut, he's the man. He's the freaking man.
So
is there any concern though with Caleb? Like, everybody was kind of criticizing through the season this year about his attitude, the way he took the losses, etc. You know, you kind of saw it through big media, right?
I want somebody that cares. Concern? Like, people talk about, that's like, what I was thinking. And stuff, and I'm like, yeah, dude, I'm a Niners fan. I sat there and watched Jimmy G lose his Super Bowl and laugh for a quarter and a half. Like, that's not it. I've coached players that care, and I've coached players that don't care. I guarantee you this. Every single coach out there, 100 out of 100 times, wants somebody that cares. Yeah, do you want them crying after every game and whatever else? No, but like, you can't sit there. The funny thing is, the same people that dock him for crying are like, oh, you know, weak, whatever else. They're the same ones that are also giving players that skip out on bowl games the same treatment. And so people just want to whine and complain about these elite playmakers that are great. And I don't know, man. I'm totally out on that.
I got to be honest, Chap. I don't know if you can see all the green and yellow behind me. I was really hoping you were going to come on and say he's the most overrated prospect of all time.
We've already done you one favor, Mikey, in our past by taking Alex Smith. So that's not happening again, my friend.
Yeah, that's fair. All right. Fair enough. I don't want to see him in a Bears uniform, but don't worry.
It's done deal. It is a done deal.
I know. My Packers bias goes out the window when it comes to fantasy football. So we're all good there. I'm excited for DJ Moore, Keenan Allen. Basically, that whole Bears offense should take a massive step forward here right off the bat with Caleb Williams under center. So my next – oh, you already answered. So you'd say top two quarterback prospect in the last decade with Andrew Luck.
That's a debate. Yeah, I would not – there's some things that he does better than Andrew – I mean, you got to look at, okay, the NFL is constantly redefined. I'm sitting here next talking to a Chiefs fan, so help me God. And their quarterback has redefined the game. Why? Not because he's a pocket passer, not because he's got a rocket arm, not because of any of those things. How does he win every freaking Super Bowl? He's a magician. Like the defense can do their job completely, but at the end of the day, Mahomes is going to find a way. Now, was Mahomes a winner in college? No. He had Cliff Kingsbury. It barely went 500. Like, I'm telling you right now, like, If you don't like Caleb Williams, then you also cannot like Patrick Mahomes. It's that simple. And he is a much cleaner prospect than Mahomes whenever he came out. He's got much tape. I mean, his top 15 plays, you could rival with anybody ever already. Now, can he get the more routine? And that's going to be the coaching. We'll have to see how that goes. And the Bears, I think, are a good fit. It's a pretty solid landing spot. That's the crazy thing. He's falling into a good spot.
I mean, when you go into a team as a rookie and you got Keenan Allen, DJ Moore on each side, on who else knows what they add? Like, I think you're going to be all, DeAndre Swift on the backfield. Don't forget that. So I think you're going to be all
Tyler right. Scott, yeah. Yeah. 100%. You know what's crazy about that? There's a part of me that just feels a little bit bad about Panthers fans that, like, they went through this big trade. Bryce Young, I mean, jury's
you trade up for a 5'10 quarterback, that's on you. Like, there was a quality quarterback that was available. There were two quality quarterbacks that were available, and Anthony Richardson and CJ Stroud. That's just poor ownership. And there's already, like, you know, the coach came out and said, like, he wanted Stroud. It's just David Tepper. And so
anyway, owner.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right, man. So let's tie this thing to fantasy football. So Caleb Williams, ADP already in best ball drafts. 105 overall, that's QB 12. He's ahead of guys like Tua, Justin Herbert, Trevor Lawrence.
Wow.
How do you feel about that for year one for a rookie quarterback in fantasy football? That seems, I don't know, man. That seems a little too high for me.
I don't mind him ahead of guys like Trevor Lawrence. I agree with that. But a lot of the guys on the back end, that's going to be weird. You know, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, those guys are your staples at the top. But, man, you got somebody like C.J. Stroud who just traded for Diggs. That's a safer bet. And everybody always wants the new toy. I get that. I understand. And he's going to put up production. The numbers are going to be there.
Yeah.
So, fantasy-wise, I think it's a little bit rich, but we always do this. We bump up the rookies, and that's just kind of the way it goes.
All right. So, speaking of which, I didn't want to do this. I didn't want to jump, but I have to. Marvin Harrison Jr., Just hear this out real quick, and we'll talk about what he means as a NFL prospect. But currently in best ball drafts, Marvin Harrison Jr. is going 16th overall as the wide receiver 9. There's only 8 wide receivers drafted ahead of him in fantasy football for this year. Not I'm not talking dynasty right now. I'm talking about 2024 fantasy football. What are your thoughts on that? Just hearing the number.
I couldn't do it. There's no way I could do that because you look at the landing spots, and that's so much. The talent's there. I mean, it's awesome. But what if he goes to New England? If he goes to New England, I'm not touching him.
Oh, yes.
For sure. Like, he's going to be catching passes from, I don't know, Bo Pinnix or Spencer Rattler. Like, are you kidding me? Like, right. No. If he goes to Arizona, yeah, sky's the limit because he's the only target that will be there. So, you know, if he gets drafted at 3 – no, that's you got screwed over. If he goes at 4 with Arizona, good Lord. If somehow he falls to 5 with the Chargers. Now that's a problem. That's your prime. Because here's the problem with that is Harbaugh runs the ball. And so I think he's going to take a tackle, but there's no other target there. I mean, there's
Josh
no competition.
Palmer is it, right? Like, that's it. So
Quentin Johnson. Josh Palmer. So yeah, we're good.
Yeah, I was on a live TikTok thing yesterday, and a lot of people were asking me about Marvin Harrison from a fantasy football standpoint. And I was saying Cardinals is an ideal situation because I mean, obviously
not for 49ers fans, but for fantasy purposes, 100%.
Yeah. All right. We'll come back to Harrison, right? We got to talk about Marvin in a bit, but I wanted to jump over there. Let's talk about the other two quarterbacks real quick, though. Let's talk Drake May, Jaden Daniels. Obviously, there's other quarterbacks in play, but for fantasy football purposes, Drake May and Jaden Daniels are going to be the next two. Who do you have? And after all, real quick, chap, how long have you been doing film study? How long have you been crushing the tape?
So since I've been putting out like my publication with all my stuff, this would be year 8. But another 2 years on top of that before I started sending it out there.
Okay.
So that's kind of where that is, if that makes sense.
All right. So you've obviously crushed the tape on Jaden Daniels, Drake May. First of all, who do you like better? Just as an NFL prospect, not even for fantasy football purposes. And the other question that I would have on those guys is where in the last 8 to 10 years would you, like, Jaden Daniels is a top blank prospect. Drake May is a top blank prospect. And we're talking NFL prospect, not fantasy football.
Right. Drake, I'm much higher on Drake May than I am Jalen Daniels. Okay, for pure football reasons. It's flipped for fantasy for obvious reasons. But I think that Drake May just has some of the elite things that other people don't have. Like, if he was in my draft last year, Drake May would have been my quarterback too. So I would have had him behind CJ Stroud considerably. But I think I would have had him ahead of Anthony Richardson. And I would have definitely had him way above Bryce Young. There's just my problem is he's got to clean things up because, you know, I put it in my notes, like he makes you scratch your head, but in a bad way. Like there's so many plays where it's just like, whoa, bro, like what was happening there? But if you put together the athleticism, the body, the arm strength, all those things, the decision making a year ago, there's a lot of positives. There's so many positives there. And so I just think that he could be one of those high production passers really, really early on. And if you put him on a team, like I think the best thing possible for him would be to go to the Vikings. And that would just be like match made in heaven. Now, is that going to be a possibility? No, he's going to be drafted by Washington overall, number two overall. I'm just telling you, that's what it's going to be right now.
Okay.
I know a lot of people disagree.
Yeah,
that's fine. Okay. I'm telling you right now, it's going to be Drake May. At least that's all my own whatever. And I'm putting my money there too, because his accuracy is so consistent. You look at the coaches that they have there in Washington, right? You brought over Adam Peters from San Francisco. I mean, come on now. It just seems to make sense. Who's your head coach? It was the guy that used to be down in Atlanta who was his quarterback that took him to the Super Bowl. It was Matt Ryan. Like, it just seems like there's a lot of things. Like, Adam Peters got burned by Trey Lance, and I'm not saying Jaden Daniels, Trey Lance. That's all I'm saying at all. But they're not related, but the mobile, raw, whatever, I feel like the Drake May is more of a fit, but the upside's still there. It's not like a Mac Jones pick where there's no upside whatsoever.
Did you know that you can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks? You can turn $10 into $1,000 with basketball, hockey, college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. And here's what's great. You can get action on sports on more than 30 different states across the country, including California, Texas, and Georgia. On top of that, you got playoff basketball actions on the horizon, and this is the best place to take advantage of all of basketball's postseason actions. Some of these player props: Nikolai Jokic for over 10 rebounds, Anthony Davis more than 2 blocks, Lillard, 4 three-pointers made. You get to pick exactly how you want to use your bets. So, download the app today. Use code 49ers, 49ERS, for a deposit match up to $100. Again, that's promo code 49ers for a first deposit match up to $100 over on Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Drake May has that upside and he has that accuracy. And that's why I'm just like, man, if I was making a bet as a franchise, I'm taking Drake May number two. And I don't think it's really close.
Ooh, I like it, man. Okay. I like to see in the fantasy football space, we hear a lot about Daniels because of, you know, we hear about rushing ability and all that. And obviously you score points that way in fantasy football. What about any sort of honorable mention, right? There's Bo Nix. There's a couple other guys in that conversation. Are there any quarterbacks that you're particularly higher on than it seems the consensus is in this year's draft?
Yeah, I would probably say it's got to be the Washington Michael Penix. Like that one I could see. Now, again, fantasy-wise, he's got to have a landing spot. And so right. whenever you look at these teams that are quarterback needy, not in the top five, all right, there's some spots there. What if he lands with the Raiders and he's got Devontae Adams to throw to? All right, now we're talking. And so there's some spots fantasy-wise that, you know, if you're at a 2QB league, super flex, whatever, I'm telling you, there's possibility there. Now, you look at somebody like J.J. McCarthy, and I'm just like, I'm not touching him in fantasy, period. I don't care if he gets drafted number three, which he won't, but if he got drafted the top 10, I don't care. It's too much of a projection for me to see. Now, he's got athleticism. The arm's not the strongest, but whatever. Like, I'm sorry. He's going to go into a system where he's going to be a game manager. Not that that's necessarily a bad thing, but from a fantasy or NFL perspective, I'm out. I'm so out on J.J. McCarthy.
So my note after reading your analysis, I said for J.J. McCarthy, I said something along the lines of if gets what's blocked was a term for a quarterback, that sounds like J.J. McCarthy.
To a T. And what was it? They ran it like 48 times in a row in a game one time, or was it 44? Yeah. Like, and that's not his fault. If they can't stop the run, you keep going at him. And Harbaugh's a bully like that. But at the same time, it's just, I think that Brock Purdy and even CJ Stroud's success in this system, and now so much, you know, half the NFL is running, you know, the Shanahan system. One of those teams could see McCarthy and be like, you know what? If they could do it with that, we could do it with this. And maybe it'll work out. But I think that this is the most like crapshoot quarterback in this draft. And I know the media is hyping him up as like a top five pick. I'm just not buying it. I'm sorry. I'm just not.
I mean, if you look at what Michigan did, Michigan won, not necessarily on the arm of J.J. McCarthy, but you had a great defense and you could run the ball effectively. Like, that is a system quarterback, period. Like, you need a really great system to make this guy look good.
Yeah. Hey, man, whatever, anything, as far as, like, when it comes to rookie evaluation, as far as I'm concerned, anything Chap says is gold.
I'm wrong all the time. So, like, I'll just throw that out there.
Bro,
I like Josh Rosen, if that makes you feel any better.
You love Trey Lance, too, if I recall. So anybody listening, Chap predicted Trey Lance going to the 49ers like months before it happened. It was kind of creepy, actually. But
it was kind of nice, like, because I usually put bets on whenever I say stupid stuff, just so I'm like, oh, I'm putting my money where my mouth is. We got paid a lot of money on that Trey Lance bet. It just didn't work out. You bet on the potential, and it did it. And it turns out that whole draft class was terrible. Trevor Lawrence is a good quarterback, no doubt about it. But like, is he a top 12 quarterback in this league? Like, I feel like that whole draft missed. And then the next year was even worse. And the only saving grace from the 21 or 2022 class was Brock Purdy. Like you got two starting quarterbacks out of those two drafts, and it's Trevor Lawrence, the first pick, and then Brock Purdy, the last pick of the next draft. Like, two of the worst drafts for quarterbacks in the history of the NFL.
Yep. And on the topic of being wrong all the time, dude, you don't have to tell me. I'm in the fantasy football industry, man. We get like all the data. You could check every single box on a player and then totally miss big time. You know what I mean? So it's just putting yourself in the best possible position to win and hoping you're right more than you're wrong, sort of thing. So let's jump over to running backs. Before we do that, Tanner, I've been terrible with keeping up with the comments. Have you seen any questions or anything we should? Yeah.
So there is a couple I'd like to just throw out there. So Dan Case, welcome in. He says, his eldest son just toured VA Tech. Any NFL guys coming out of Virginia Tech this year?
Yes. There are actually quite a few. Well, not like what there used to be back in the 90s, actually.
Right.
But there's actually, hold on. There's a lot of Virginia guys, which isn't going to help you out, but a lot of Virginia Tech transfers. But that's it. I don't think there's any Virginia Tech guys this year.
I definitely being a fantasy football guy, I keep it to quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, tight ends. I don't see a single one in my top 60, 82 players. So I got nothing.
I did 250. I'm at 250 and I don't have one Virginia Tech player. That stinks. You go back to the Frank Beamer days when, you know, the special teams, still one of the greatest traditions in college football, where they play Inner Sandman quarter three out at like Blacksburg, Virginia. Are you kidding me? The Hokies, everybody going wild. Man, Dan Case, your son's going to have a great time if that's where he goes. That's such a cool football atmosphere.
Amen. Jordan wants to know if we coordinated colors.
Yes, we did.
I assume that's
for
you, all of us.
That, and we all have the same underwear on, too, just so you know.
Yeah, and really quickly, so Chap, 49ers fan, Tanner, Chiefs fan, and I purposely wore the red BBFF shirt because I knew I was going to have two red-colored guys on here. So technically, yeah, it's totally coordinated. Chap, I didn't realize you were wearing the donut boxers today, though. That's crazy.
Oh, you got it. Fashion's fashion.
What else we got, Tanner?
Let's see here. Real quick here, too. Dan Case again says impact of Cousins on London and Pitts. How about Dan on Warner?
This is actually my most recent. I literally just posted a whole episode on this, episode 13 inside the 20. I talked specifically about Kirk Cousins going to the Falcons, the impact on Drake London, Kyle Pitts, Darnell Mooney, Rondale Moore, and then the Vikings side, right? This is potentially terrible news for TJ Hockenson, Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison. Depends what they end up with at quarterback. They got former 49er Sam Darnold penciled in as QB1 right now, but it's huge, man. I'd say Drake London and Kyle Pitts are on a rocket ship. And like Chap, I put my money where my mouth is. I literally just completed a dynasty trade for Drake London about an hour ago in my biggest dynasty league. So
what'd you give up for him? I'm curious. What'd you give up?
I gave up. I hope they're not listening because I thought it was a hell of a steal. I gave up David Njoku, a 2025 first round pick, and then the 16th overall pick in this upcoming rookie draft, which to me,
so I thought a second was next year's first and a tight end.
David and Joe. Yeah. And I got
tight ends are replaceable always
for. Yeah. And I got a 22 year old wide receiver that just got Kirk Cousins, a guy that's has a career. He's built a career out of just sending his pass catchers to the moon in fantasy football, man. I'm all about it. Dan, if you're a fantasy football player, get your Falcons in your lineup as much as you can.
Agreed. All right, that's good for comments for now.
Sweet. Chat, let's go running backs. This is the ugliest class I think I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, I think if you talk to seven teams, they'd have seven different number ones. What's your flavor? There's no top tier anything. It's hard to find the true three down back. There's a lot of first, second down pure runners. There's a lot of change of pace guys. There's a couple speed demons, kind of like Devin, you know, A-Chain last year. So it's really, what is it that you want? But there's nothing beautiful about this. There's no way somebody's going to the first round. There's definitely not going to be a first round running back this year. And I have one running back with a second round grade. That's it. I've got four third rounders and I've got five fourth rounders. And then it's just like, I could have had 10 six round grades on running backs. I just got tired of, I was like, all right, this is enough. Like you're going to be able to get guys day three of the draft, priority free agents. The NFL is just taking a stand. They don't care about safeties and they don't care about running backs. And because of that, the draft allocation for those positions is going to constantly be decimated as well, because it overlaps with the salary cap. If you draft a running back in the first round or a safety, you are already paying that person a top 10 of their position year one.
That's correct. Yeah.
And so
that's nuts, man.
And I know this is fantasy, but it affects the draft position because now that you're talking about, you're drafting rookie running backs that got drafted in the actual fourth round of their draft. Teams aren't tied to that. Not like they used to be 5 years ago. You spend a first or second round pick on a guy, you're going to give him more than one chance to succeed. Fourth rounder. Yeah. Look at the 49ers. How many third round running backs do they draft? None of them worked out, man. And they're all gone in 2 years.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Now you're gonna George Mason, Elijah Mitchell, they're all over the place. I don't remember the draft the rounds they were drafted in, but everybody who steps into that, you know, if CMC goes down, everybody who steps in is instantly, you know, an RB2 in fantasy football. It's just the Kyle Shanahan effect of everything. But
I mean you can find a guy late too. Don't forget, you can find a sixth rounder running back, you know, to start your team and be a really hard running guy, aka as Pacheco.
I was huge on Pacheco out of Rutgers. He was awesome. Yeah. I was really high. I think I had like a fourth or fifth round grade on him, if I'm not mistaken. But like, you find tape that you like. That's the thing. Everything this draft is correct. Just pick your flavor. What is it that you want?
Is it?
Yeah.
Now with the new running backs and, you know, the way they're being used, right? You're doing a lot of duo running backs, sometimes even three for some teams here. Does this class maybe complement that a little better, that you can wait till that fourth, fifth, sixth round that you can have as a two or a three into play?
Yeah, you want a three down back, you're struggling out of this. There's a few, but there's not that many. Yeah. And so, yeah, you could facilitate your running back room really well with what's going on here.
So on my fantasy football big board, I don't do an NFL big board like you do, chap, but I do a fantasy football big board for Dynasty League fantasy football players. Right now, my number one running back on that list is Jonathan Brooks. I know he tore his ACL in November, but arguably the biggest fantasy football upside of all the running backs in this class, probably one of the, if of course he gets healthy. Give us your rundown on what you've seen in the film on Jonathan Brooks.
Man, I'm a Longhorn, so this is my guy.
Automatically biased.
Excuse me. Okay. I get a little choked up talking about Jonathan Brooks. He's somebody that's like really patient, because he could have went somewhere else. He sat behind Bijan, sat behind Roschon Johnson, but when he got his chance, good Lord. And part of me still says to this day, if Brooks stayed healthy, Texas like has a chance to win the national championship, because the running back position was like, it hurt us against Washington. So we at least would have been in the national championship. If you're going for ceiling, good Lord, 21 years old. Like, he is the truest three-down back in this class. Now, yep. Sarkisian will scheme up passes to the running back, but they had some lighter guys that they really liked in that role. He caught 25 receptions on 29 targets. So it's not like he didn't flourish in that area, but it was a positive. You can't grade him negatively there. And just the big plays. Like, if I could have anybody, he's my only second-round grade for the running back position. That dude just graded so well. Javonte Williams with upside, that's kind of my comp for him. Ooh, okay. Okay. Wherever he goes, I'm excited to see it.
Yeah, landing spot's going to be really, really important here. I mean, it always is in fantasy football, especially at the running back position. But he's pretty easily, he's in a tier of his own right now. That's not true. Give me one. In my rookie rankings that I have not fully released yet, the only other running back I have in that tier is Trey Benson. Tell us what you think about Trey Benson.
Yeah, I liked him. I didn't like him as much as I wanted, because you see the highlights, you watch the game tape, and it's like, oh, all right. He's huge, 6'2", 216. He's got burst, 4.3 speed. And so you hear that, you're just like, huh. But when you watch the game tape, this dude ran into so many of his own players, like the vision. And this is why I always tell people, you know, my axiom that I always use is highlights are like reading a dating profile, and watching the game tape is like interviewing the ex, because when you watch the highlights, you only see the good. But when you go through the second and three in the third quarter, and this dude runs straight into the freaking backside of his own guard, and it's just like, man, so there's some stuff there. The upside is there. I wish he didn't bounce it outside so much. He weighs 216 pounds. He just wants to go outside. And so vision is just, that's an issue. But everything else, it's off the charts. So, third round grade, that's kind of where he should go. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you like Trey Benson, you should also like Isaac Guerrero out of Louisville, because they're the same damn player. Everybody knows about Trey Benson. Very few know about Isaac. Now, after the combine, he kind of lit it up. But they're almost identical running styles, still got issues with vision, and they're bigger backs with top-end speed that want to go outside all the time. And I don't like that. That is that has not translated as well in the NFL as I think NFL teams think it will. Even in his own system, it's really because he's not a true one-cut runner.
I hear you, dude. I actually really do like Isaac, and frustratingly, for whatever reason, he's not even available in best ball drafts. Like, you can't take the guy on Underdog, at least. I don't know if he's available somewhere else.
I've got Benson and Isaac rated right next to each other in the third round. Like, there's no difference between the two, in my opinion.
And I see, and I hope I'm not spoiling anything with what you're about to publish, but I know that you got two guys besides Jonathan Brooks. You got two other guys that are ahead of Trey Benson. Tell us what the film tells you about Jalen Wright and Will Shipley.
Man, Jalen Wright, the NFL speed kills. Like, that's just what it is. It's so he's the closest to Devin Achain, but with an extra 15 pounds. Because the problem with Achain is injuries and just how light he is. But man, you look at the tape and good gosh, Jalen Wright is shot out of a cannon all the damn time. And it's not like he's doing it against nobody. He hit 15 miles an hour on his 40, which is the fastest time for any running back in the last two combines. Like, this dude is elite, elite, elite speed. Now, he ran a 4.38, and that's not, like, groundbreaking or whatever else. But you watch the tape. If you told me he ran a 4.25, I'd be like, yes, he did. Because the tape says he's faster than a 4.38. I was disappointed when I saw a 4.38 at the combine. I just think
he's better with the pads on, is what you're saying.
It's he's weird, even better with the pads. It is just weird. Now, the Tennessee offense is weird as hell, but like my play style comp for him is Darren McFadden. Like, that's what he reminded me of. Just like once he gets out and he gets in that stride, it's over. And so, especially if you're like a best ball type guy, Jalen Wright is going to be very high on my list because he's somebody that might only get three carries, but he's going to get a 70-yard touchdown.
Okay. Got it. All right. Talk to me about Shipley.
Oh, we're going to be here a minute, man. Shipley's my guy. Yeah, like, I'm probably higher on him than most people. I just watch him, and the game translates so well to every single team. You want a runner, you want a pass catcher, you want pass pro. If he was a slot wide receiver, I would have a fourth round grade on him. He's a slower Christian McCaffrey light, and I get it. He's a white running back, so everybody's going to whatever. But you watch the tape, and it translates. Like, it's just value and versatility. I wish he was a little bit more athletic, and that's why I have him going in the third round. If he was Christian McCaffrey, he'd be going in the first round. But my thing is, and again, I look at everything with the 49ers slant, this guy just makes too much dang sense. If he was on the 49ers and Christian McCaffrey goes down, you don't alter your play style, your play calling at all. You just plug and play. He's not CMC. Nobody is. But this guy, I don't care wherever he goes, I will be drafting him in almost all my leagues.
All right. So speaking of which, now I'm in my dynasty leagues, I tend to play a little conservative, at least ahead of the NFL draft when it comes to ranking a lot of these guys. So my first running back, who I told you is Jonathan Brooks, I don't even have him. He's number 13 overall on my list behind one tight end, one quarterback, and then a bunch of wide receivers.
Yeah.
We hear a lot about how this class of running backs just ain't it. And this class of wide receivers is it. What's your initial thoughts when I tell you that my number one running back on my dynasty leagues right now doesn't make an appearance until number 13 in my rookie rankings? Does that seem right? Or is that way too low?
No, I think you're right. Like, it what's crazy is if I had to pick a running back that was going to have the best first year, like rookie year, who's going to have the best rookie year, regardless of landing spot? Ray Davis is my guy. Like, I'm going Ray Davis out of Kentucky. I mean, he is the most Frank Gore running back I have ever seen, ever. He's older. He's done it at several schools. He just, his game translates to the NFL so well. Is he going to get a second contract in the NFL? Probably not. But if you need running back help now, draft Ray Davis in the third or fourth round. I have a fourth round grade on him. Dude could rush for 1,000 yards with ease, man. It reminds me, and again, going back to Kyle Shanahan, who was the cat that he had in Washington that, like, with Kirk Cousins? Yes, that's who it reminds me of. It just, all right, you just get him. Who he's out of UCF, right? I remember watching the tape back in the day. But like Ray Davis, like wherever he goes, that dude's going to be, you know, not rookie of the year probably, because it's going to be an unsexy 1,000 yards rushing. But you're right. You fade the running back, and I would highlight the landing spot much more so this year for running backs than usual.
Sure.
Who has the pathway to carries and receptions?
Say that. Oh, pathway. Yeah.
Who is going to have that? We don't know.
Right. So for anybody listening, so right now, as it pertains to Ray Davis, man, I love the dude. He's like geriatric as far as running backs go. He's going to be 25 years old in November already. Like in the middle of the season, you have a rookie running back who's going to be 25 years old. He's 2 years older than Breece Hall. Now, what I have written in my rookie rankings, he did have a strong collegiate profile, especially at the end of his career. Quite frankly, might be the best back in the class as it pertains to contributing right now. Day one, come into an NFL offense and contribute right away. Could be a very solid RB2 in fantasy football, even if it's just for 2 or 3 years before he kind of fades off into the sunset.
Yep. And there's value in that. Like, I understand it's probably not sexy. We all lived through the David Johnson days, and I'm not saying he's that dynamic of an athlete, but you get somebody that just drops out of nowhere and is a top 10 running back, and then 3 years later, the dude's like, where did he go? Yeah, that's going to be probably Ray Davis.
Ray Davis. Yeah, man. Love it, dude. All right. Are there any other running backs that you want to discuss that kind of jump out, like you're particularly higher on them than most, or are there any running backs that you've seen on tape that you don't understand why other people are so high on that running back? Does anything pop out at you?
Yeah, I don't like to be too negative. Braylon Allen out of Wisconsin. I really didn't enjoy. I liked Badger. I always liked, cause they run a zone scheme, and you know, since Chris was there and everything, like I love the blocking structure. I love everything. He's such a big back that runs soft. And so I struggle with that. And again, I think maybe this is a theme because I said similar things about, you know, some of the other guys we were talking about. Like, I don't like that. You're a big back, be a big back. And I felt like he wants to be finesse, and it's like, I don't think it's business decisions. It's just a style. But if there's a back that I like that I really haven't heard too much about, it's Tyrone Tracy, sticking with the Big Ten out of Purdue. I mean, smaller side, 5'11", 201, but man, he is fun. He was at Iowa for 4 years and then transferred to Purdue. And this dude just like, he took over. And I just think there's so much upside to his game. He was a wide receiver returner. Just changed running back this past year, and I'm watching his game, and I'm like, man, there's a lot of nuance to like what he's doing. Like, this guy's played running back for 1 year. Pass pro's great, hands are great, returner upside, on and on. Like, I really like Tyrone Tracy, and that was somebody I never even heard of before I started doing this draft work. And I'm like, good Lord, like I like him more than guys like Marshawn Lloyd, who people are saying could be running back one. And I'm just like, man, I do not see that. Like, I don't know.
Well, yeah, about Blake Corum? Blake Corum's been a big name I've been hearing all the way around.
I have a very difficult time. I like him. I just can't see him having fantasy relevance or locking down an NFL job. Okay, so he's 5'7", 205. He's long in the tooth, and his metrics are terrible. He's got some of the shortest arms and smallest hands I've ever seen. He's not fast. Now, he has all the intangibles, right? And contact balance. All those things are great. How many teams are looking for a 5'7", 205 running back? Even Austin Eckler, who is that, they didn't want. Like, and so I'm just – there's no extra gear. There's no top-end speed. Third down back, locker room, special teams. I think that's what he should do. And so I just cannot see a team that's like, you know what? We really need Blake Corum. The leadership, the community involvement, all those things are off the charts. And I love that. And that's very important to me. But I watch his tape and I'm just like, man, I just don't see this translating as well. Maybe I'm wrong, and I hope I am, because he is awesome. I'm sorry. I can't see a pathway to being a top 10 running back anywhere in his future.
So I'm just looking at, because Tanner's right. He's a big name in this upcoming class, just in terms of like people thinking he could be in that running. I'm looking at his dynasty ADP on DLF, dynastyleaguefootball.com. Where'd it go? He's currently RB34. If you're starting a brand new dynasty league, he's usually drafted around RB34. He's drafted ahead of guys like, I'll just go with all of them. Jake Ferguson, Cortland Sutton, Romeo Doubs, James Conner, Condre Miller, whoa, Dallas Goedert.
Let me back up a little bit, because it's not like I dislike him. I just think he's a really high floor, low ceiling prospect whenever it comes to fantasy and the NFL. Those aren't typically guys that I'm trying to go after. He'll 100%. Be on an NFL team and he'll get a second contract because the special teams, third down versatility. You need somebody in goal line. He could do that. You need pass pro. He could do that. Like he checks those boxes, but there's is he ever going to get 20 carries in the NFL in a single game? Yeah. No,
that's not a good use of a draft pick. You can pass on him and instead take a guy like James Conner, who can still contribute right now. Jerry Jeudy, who's still young, obviously he hasn't really done much yet, but there's a lot of guys that are below Blake Corum. That's just, there's more upside there that I'd rather spend that draft pick on. All right, let's hop over to, should we do wide receiver? Yeah, we'll do wide receiver. Nah, let's do tight ends real quick. But before we do that, Tanner, go ahead.
Let's get some comments in here. By the way, you did have a super chat, John, from Bro Montana. He says, ooh, I'm dead. Stream is hysterical. Love the collab. Appreciate you watching in that here. Go down here. Jordan wants to know, does Chap have any long shot bets he likes in terms of surprise guys to go top 10, first round, or team first position drafted?
I haven't done that yet. I'm releasing my write-up and everything this Saturday. So for all my Patreon subscribers and the 49ersrush.com, everything will be released tomorrow. At least that's projected time. We're on schedule for that. After that, I go through and do my bets. But if I was to tell you a bet, I would bet the way over on where the tight end, Brock Bowers, is going to get drafted. I do not think that he goes very high in this draft at all, personally. But, you know, if Dan Campbell had a top-end pick, then that would change. But, I like him as a player, but I just cannot justify him going kind of top 15. He might be a top 15 player, and I think I have him number 12 overall. But I think he's going to slip considerably.
Interesting.
Oh,
really? And I'm betting that pretty big. So is Austin in the chat?
All right.
Do I see Austin? ESF Reunion is in the place.
Yeah,
and we just got through talking about a Michigan player, and Austin shows up.
I was just texting with Austin earlier today, just catching up with him.
I'm calling you after this show, big guy. I'm calling you after the show, Austin. It's been too long. Dude, good man.
I don't want to spoil his news, but he's doing something completely different now. Anyway,
all right. We did have Invader 49er says, is Shipley CMC 2.0. Now, you already stated there's no CMC. He's
it's like the Windows 7.2b update of CMC, if that makes it. Like, and I'm not trying to be negative. Like, what are the terms that people use? Like, oh, CMC light, poor man CMC, CMC 2.0. I'm like, man, it's a essence.
Wouldn't that just be Saquon?
Of CMC. There we go. There we go.
he's a branch that fell off the CMC tree. Like, that's
there we go. I'll take that.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
I like it.
What anything else, Tanner?
That takes care of your comments for now.
All right, man. Well, we're gonna double click on this Brock Bowers thing. Let's talk tight ends before we do wide receivers, right? In the fantasy community, everybody's going nuts over Brock Bowers. They're talking about like greatest tight end prospect since Kyle Pitts, which, by the way, Kyle Pitts season 2024. I know we've been saying that for years, but it's coming right now. Tell me what the film tells you about Brock Bowers, John. And of the 10 years you've been doing film study, where top Brock Bowers is a top fill in the blank tight end prospects that you've seen in the last 10 years.
I think he's top five. And I get it. The film is that damn good. The film is good. So here's the problem with Brock Bowers, and it's all good problems. The film says first round draft pick. Check, done. Production, first round draft, check, done. The problem is metrics are way out on this guy. He is tiny. And so if you're a metrics driven team, which Kyle Pitts had all the metrics in the world, like that dude was, you wanted him as a wide receiver. Awesome. Tight end. Awesome. Didn't matter. Like, and everybody wants to say, oh, Brock Bowers is George Kittle. He's a lot smaller. He's a lot slower. He's coming off an injury. You didn't get all those whatever in. Now, I know the film is there and all that stuff, but where did George Kittle go? George Kittle in the fifth round. Now we're talking about a top 10 pick. Like, and again, if you draft Brock Bowers top 10, he will be the third highest paid tight end his rookie year. Where's the value in that? So the salary cap in the metrics community, if your team is paying attention to either one of those, trade back, let's get Brock Bowers. Now you got to have somebody to trade back with. That's why I think he goes out of the top 15. It's not a slide on his game. It's not a slide on him because I love him. And if the Niners could get this guy and just plug him in and he's George Kittle, we keep moving and roll on, like that's awesome. But my thing, the tape says Wes Welker with 40 pounds. That's what he reminds me of.
I saw that. Yeah, and 6 inches.
Yeah, it's 6 inches taller. But, like, the blocking's good, but it's not great. He's got a 62 run blocking grade on PFF. Now, PFF has its issues, but it's not like he's all-world blocker because the size is a problem. You want to block him in space? Cool. Now you're drafting a tight end that you're not even comfortable with his hand in the dirt in the top 10? Ah! And so I just think that there's more positions that are important. And then there's several teams that don't even use a tight end every play. You're not drafting this guy unless you have a tight end out there all the dang time. And so Cliff Kingsbury's on your team. You're not drafting a tight end this high. Like, that doesn't make sense. So I like him. George Kittle's my comp, but I think Trey McBride's a little more realistic. We say there's like George Kittle's in every single draft, but like, and maybe he is him, and maybe he will be the best tight end in, you know, pro football. And I hope that he is because I really like him. I'm just saying people went a little too crazy, in my opinion.
All right. I like it. I like it. And that maybe that has something to do with the fantasy football community. We're always looking for the next, like you said, that shiny toy, right? We want, and especially in fantasy football, man, it's hard to find those tight ends, right? You get Travis Kelce and then a huge gap, usually. Now, this year is a little bit different, right? Dalton Kincaid, Sam Laporta. There's actually quite a few tight end options in fantasy football. But I wonder if, because we're always looking for that next, like, that next Travis Kelce, that next Rob Gronkowski, if people see a guy like Brock Bowers and they're like, this is it, this is him, you know. So maybe it's a little inflated because of that. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I look at, like, okay, and here's my problem is, like, okay, let's say you spend a high fantasy pick on Brock Bowers. Are you going to get paid off? One, it's the most difficult position to translate to the NFL, period, because you got the blocking and you've got the passing schemes. So that's one issue. Then you look at, okay, what teams? All right? Like where do we want him to go? Indianapolis is not drafting him. They're a metric-based team only. Seattle, they already got Noah Fant. Jacksonville, all right, let's say he goes there. They could use him, but they've got a lot of slot wide receivers, which is what he's going to be used as. He's going to be a slot guy. So that's problematic. Cincinnati, all right, now you're competing for targets, but it makes sense. The Rams, all right. Rams not too bad of a fit, actually. That's pick 19. You see what I'm saying? Like, I'm sitting here like going through the draft board, and I'm like, all right, not really. Like, where's the pick that's like, oh, hell yeah, this fits?
What about the Jets at 10? Why wouldn't the Jets get another weapon for Aaron Rodgers to possibly have after an injured season?
You just answered the question. He's not going to protect Aaron Rodgers from getting injured. That's a weapon. That's awesome.
I don't think they're going
to
be looking
for
that.
You need to get a damn lineman. You need a lineman. And so if I'm Aaron Rodgers, and I'm much smarter than him, but I'll put that out there right now. You're asking me, how do I – And again, now we're talking medical stuff and Aaron Rodgers, so this is already off the rocker. But I'm like, dude, get me a lineman. Don't give me a tight end. Get me a lineman. And has Aaron Rodgers ever been good with a tight end? Once. JerMichael Finley.
JerMichael Finley.
That's it.
One really, really nice throw to Jared Cook. Forget that.
Anyway. Dude, that's got to be a tackle there. That's got to be a tackle, right? Like, that O-line is terrible.
But we know what the Jets are. I mean, the Raiders could be at that same point at 13. They could just go out and get a big, well,
the
big
Raiders
guy
are
big
dumb. And so, like, and they got Michael Mayer.
And I got
Yeah, that's who they drafted last year.
So, right. like, no, That's out the, like, that's my thing. Like, find a pairing. Yeah, like, I don't mind people saying Brock Bowers is a top 10 player on my board. He's number 12 on mine.
Yeah.
But find a team that's willing. And if Dan Campbell had this pick, then I think he would, because he doesn't care about the salary cap, caveman, chest boom. Oh, I do what I want. Like, it doesn't make sense.
You mean a Laporta Bowers combo?
Well, he would.
I would hate that as a Laporta fan, but that would be sick.
So, fantasy football, by the way, Brock Bowers. I think his dynasty ranking makes a ton of sense on dynastyleaguefootball.com. He goes as fantasy number five tight end. That makes sense. But in best ball this year, so we're talking only 2024, not 2025 and beyond, he is currently drafted as fantasy's number nine tight end in fantasy football around pick 79. He goes ahead of Dak Prescott, Ramondre Stevenson, Christian Watson, Jordan Love, Tony Pollard. He goes ahead of those guys in best ball this year, which to me, historically, tight ends typically don't perform very well in fantasy football during their rookie year. Now, Sam Laporta broke that last year. He just completely shattered that whole myth or that whole theory. But number nine tight end around pick 79 is way, way too rich, regardless of how much you love Brock Bowers.
And you know what? And I'll come out right now and I'll say this. My number two tight end is going to outperform in fantasy Brock Bowers his rookie year. I don't even care where he goes. Yeah, it's Jatavion Sanders. Yeah, I mean, I love him, that dude.
21 years old.
Oh my gosh, man. Again, I'm biased. I'm a Longhorn. But like, that dude is the biggest playmaker in this draft. Now, the metrics, again, metrics aren't great, but they're better than Brock's. Like, he wasn't a tester. He's much more Travis Kelce-esque, where it's just like, he just finds space. He catches everything. And once he gets the ball in the hands, like, you can't explain it. He's not a three-cone guy. He's not shifty. Nobody tackles him, and he just gets crazy yards and makes big-time plays in the biggest of games. So, like, Jatavion Sanders, like, that guy, I'll let everybody overpay for Brock's hype. Cool. I'll sit back. I'll take Jatavion Sanders, and he'll outperform. He'll outperform Brock Bowers in fantasy production.
All right, so Chap's calling it. Jatavion Sanders outperforms Brock Bowers in year one, fantasy football. If that's the case, by the way, in best ball leagues right now, you can get Jatavion Sanders 103 picks later than Brock Bowers at number 19 tight end, which even that, to be honest with you, that seemed a little bit rich for me. I'm nervous about drafting rookie tight ends for year one, but still 100 picks later than Brock Bowers in fantasy football right now.
And a lot of it, too, is why would you draft Jatavion Sanders? He's not the best blocker. Like, he's a blocker. He's not the best blocker. You're drafting him as a move tight end.
Pass catcher. Like, right.
He's a pass catcher premium. That's just who he is. So you don't draft Jatavion Sanders. Now, he might fall. He might not go until the third round because he's not a complete tight end. But you cannot tell me you have a better pass catching tight end on your team if you draft Jatavion Sanders, because that dude will deliver right off the freaking bat, because that's what he does. He's a big slot at worst. And that dude is a playmaker. You play every NFL plays zone. This dude is a zone eater. Everybody always like, man, why is Travis Kelce always so open? How's it like? I'm telling you, Jatavion Sanders isn't him, but that's his number one asset. He finds space.
Love it, dude. And for all my dynasty leaguers out there, kid's still 21 years old. So theoretically there's room for growth, right? There's lots to love there. Let's talk about Theo. Real quick, I saw somebody pop a comment in there. Thanks, Tanner. Tell us what the film says about Theo Johnson.
Man, he's one of my favorite players in this draft. I have a third round grade on him out of Penn State. Huge, 6'6", 259. And so you're talking about somebody that's like 3 to 4 inches bigger than Brock Bowers, weighs an extra 30 to 40 pounds than Brock Bowers. Oh, guess what? He's faster than Brock Bowers. And so it's just like, you know, there's some stuff there where it's like, all right. Like, this makes sense. Now, after catch specialist, you know, he tested so positively and everything. The problem with Theo Johnson is he could be a tight end too. Like, you could use him as an extra offensive line. So he's a much better NFL player than he is fantasy asset. Unless the landing spot dictates He's going to get some receptions. I'm not saying draft this dude in fantasy, so I don't want to spend too much time on him. Much better NFL prospect than fantasy guy.
Any other tight ends that jump out at you on the tape that you think are
David
worth
wants
mentioning?
To know about
Oh yeah.
K-State guy, Ben Sinnott.
Ben Sinnott, yeah. I'll say this. Whenever I love just the idea of Kansas State, like, quarterbacks and whatever else. Like, they're awesome. And he's 6'3", 250, so he's a smaller move-type guy. My favorite thing about him was just shifty. His three-cone 6.8 is incredible. He scores touchdowns. He's going to be a red zone threat. So, like, from a receiving standpoint, I think he's ahead of a lot of these other tight ends. And if he lands in a spot, then I like it. But I don't know how much he's going to get on the field. But he plays with so much freaking heart. I mean, he was a walk-on at K-State. Number 34. He kept his walk-on number. That's like I like that. You know what I mean? Like, he kept it even after he got a scholarship.
Yeah. So, he's got that chip on his shoulder. So, yeah.
I like him, but... I doubt fantasy-wise you would touch anybody else besides the top two tight ends.
Yeah, he goes around pick 232, so he still gets drafted. 33rd. I'm looking. Yeah, 33rd drafted tight end in fantasy football, but he's not. That's like a 20th round pick. So
yeah.
All right, let's hop over to wide receivers. Tanner, did anything pop in that we should touch on here?
Keep going. All right. We're good.
Sick. All right, chap, dude. I don't know if you heard. Apparently, there's a pretty good wide receiver that is going to be drafted this year. Actually, well, there's a bunch of them, but there's one in particular that I heard is not too bad at the game of football. In the 10 years, fill in the blank, in 10 years of film analysis and studying incoming rookies, Marvin Harrison Jr. is a top blank wide receiver prospect.
Man, he'd be number one for me. One or two. Marte. And the only name that comes to mind, and this is crazy because the NFL didn't translate like it should. Like, my top three, just off the top of my head, Sammy Watkins coming out of Clemson. That dude was him, dude, man. Yeah. That dude was him. So I'd go Sammy Watkins, Marvin Harrison Jr., Ja'Marr Chase. Like, those would be my top three from like the past 10 years or so. Like, those are the three guys that come to mind. But yeah, Sammy Watkins was him. It didn't translate, and you know, he never really,
I remember that year, in fantasy football, I took over an orphan dynasty league team that had the number one rookie pick in the upcoming draft. And I, all the way up to the last second on my clock, it was between Mike Evans and Sammy Watkins. And thankfully I ended up going with Mike Evans just for the touchdown upside. But man, Sammy was definitely in that conversation for sure. All right.
But like Marvin Harrison, I'll say this. Okay. Like, you watch. Okay. There's two ways to grade a player. You know, whenever I first started coaching, I was in charge of scouting. So I would go to these, you know, schools and watch tape and whatever else. You know, I worked my way up, whatever. But like, my thing was like, okay, what player is going to give us fits? And so you can turn on the tape and watch Marvin Harrison. And you're like, man, this dude's incredible. But where he stands out is I got to grade all these cornerbacks. And so whenever I started grading all these top tier corners, especially in the Big Ten, let's see how they play against Ohio State. And so I kept grading these corners and I was like, man, that's a third round grade. That's a third round grade. Then I'd watch them against somebody else. And I was like, whoa, this is a top 10 player. And it got to the point where I would not watch a cornerback go against Marvin Harrison Jr. Cause it just made me, it just ruined it. Like, it was a bad experience because he's just cooking the hell out of everybody. Now watch Malik Nabers. You don't get that same feeling. You can love a corner against Malik Nabers. And now Malik Nabers still going to do his thing. He's great. He's a top five player for me, but he's not ruining reputations. You see what I'm saying? Like, that's the difference. Yeah. Is maybe Nabers has a better career and his athletic profile is probably way past that of Marvin Harrison Jr. Really smart. He didn't test in anything. But I don't care. This dude, between the freaking, to put him on the field, I don't care what it is. If it was 7-on-7 football, field hockey, he's elite, 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 elite.
All right. So I wanted to ask you, Chap, I'm glad you brought up Nabers because you and I were texting the other day. And let me know if I'm wrong, but I got the vibe from you that you're not as high on Nabers as it's like some other draft pundits
No,
is
I'm not.
Is that fair, or did I misread it?
Okay. Oh, it's incredibly. Like, he's my number five player overall. So, like, I mean, he's the top five. Like, good Lord. I think when Ja'Marr Chase came out, I had him number three overall, perhaps,
okay,
just off the top of my head. But that was not as good a draft as this is. There's projection to Malik Nabers' game that doesn't – you don't have – there's no projection with Rome Odunze. That's my number two wide receiver. I love Malik Nabers. And I think that these guys are in kind of a world of their own. But you look at the physical – everything that Malik brings, like, yeah, that dude – let him walk off the bus. You know, he's the dude, the way he looks, the way he plays, his age, all that stuff. But then you watch the film and it's like, man, why are you always in the slot? Like, let's put him outside. Like, there were better outside wide receivers on his own team. And so can he play outside? Yes, definitely. And I know some people are like, well, they said the same thing about Justin Jefferson coming out of the slot. And look what that is. Their games are completely different. One is raw, athletic, upside, that's Nabers. One was polish, hands, route, body control. That's Jefferson. And so, yeah, they both played slot at LSU with Heisman Trophy quarterbacks. But don't get me wrong. The athleticism versus Justin Jefferson, not even on this world. Malik Nabers, Justin Jefferson. But Justin Jefferson's got some of that Jerry Rice to him. You know what I mean? Like, it's just smooth. And, God, how do you stop that? This dude wins with athleticism. Sorry.
No. I didn't mean to cut you off there. To your point, there's a difference between supreme athlete and good wide receiver. And when those two things come together, obviously we're talking dominant. But look at who was it? Dorial Green-Beckham back in the day, who was like just this freak of nature that just didn't. So like athleticism alone isn't enough. Now, obviously, Malik Nabers seems to be a beast in his own right as it pertains to playing wide receiver in the NFL. By the way, he goes, we thought Marvin Harrison Jr.'s ADP was high, which it is. But Malik Nabers goes number 18 overall for wide receivers. He goes number 18 as far as wide receivers go in best ball leagues for this year. Which
he's going to be a best ball guy. He's the deep threat ability, sure, the separation. Like, and again, where's he going to go? Like, again, I'll say this, and I can talk about how great these guys are. Whoever the hell New England gets, fade immediately. Like, you've got to pair Malik Nabers with a cannon arm. Nightmare. You have to. And a good, like, quarterback. Because you got to uncork the potential. If you don't throw the deep ball and you draft Malik Nabers, you're a moron. Like, you just – that's getting a Ferrari and parking it on the curb. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, he's got all the traits. And, again, it sounded like I was, like, fading him. I'm not. Like, he would have been my number one wide receiver last year's class. Like, he's just – this is a great wide receiver class. Like, he's incredible.
So
if he goes to the Chargers,
they just
have fun with that.
They just don't throw the ball. That's the problem. But I hear you. So he Malik Nabers is currently drafted in for not dynasty, just this year. He's drafted ahead of Mike Evans, Josh Jacobs, Josh Allen, Jalen Waddle, Michael Pittman, Derrick Henry. There's just a lot of names on here that doesn't make sense to me to see Malik Nabers maybe in the future, a couple years from now, but like, not here in year one, especially not even knowing where he's going.
And I see in the comments, real quick, Renardo Green out of Florida State, who I really like, he gave Nabers problem, and then they had to move him to the other side of the field and get Renardo Green off of him. Then he has a huge play. DeCamrion Richardson out of Mississippi State, like, now he's a 4.3, 4.40 guy. He's running with Nabers stride for stride. And that's going to happen in the NFL too. And I'm not like, I feel like it sounds like I don't like him. That's not what I'm saying at all. I just think he's not matchup proof. He's not all world elite. Maybe he will be. And gosh, man, he's so freaking fun. But he's got to have a pairing. Like, what if the Giants draft him with Daniel Jones? Like at six.
Yeah. That's all I was thinking. I was like, there's no other side.
They have Jalen Hyatt, the best deep threat in the draft last year. And like, it's just not going to work. Tennessee, really? You're trusting Will Levis with this? Okay. Atlanta, like, okay, they've already got two awesome threats. Like, where is he going to go where it's like, boom? Oh, this is perfect. Marvin Harrison Jr. goes anywhere, boom, perfect. Besides New England. Besides New England.
I know we already talked about this, but what about, I mean, I'm not going to say it, Jets, but I'm not going to say it. Jets. And I'm not. Yeah.
Gary Wilson on one side, neighbors coming in, be a possibly
Mike Williams.
Three.
Mike Williams for all three.
Yeah, I was going to say they got Mike Williams, but they do run three wide receiver sets. Like, that could be fun.
That'd be sick. All right.
Be the Alan Lazard.
Alan Lazard. I know we only got a
Mikey,
few
are you
here.
A Jets fan now? Are you a Jets fan? Come on. You don't have no like turtle green or whatever they call it back there.
Nah, bro. As far from Jets fan as possible, but remember, I am a full-time fantasy football analyst, and as long as Rodgers is playing there, man, I'm all in on Garrett Wilson, who could be the number one wide receiver in football this year. Breece Hall could be the number one running back. Sorry to CMC. I'm not saying he will beat CMC, but he has that upside in his potential his window. So I'm like accidentally a Jets fan because I'm a full-time fantasy football analyst. It's kind of sickening, to be honest. But all right, Chap Dude, I know we got just a little bit of time left. Let's kind of fly through some of these wide receivers. We didn't even talk about Roma Dunze yet.
I have him ahead of neighbors.
Right. So I want to hear a quick snapshot on what the film tells you about him.
Zero projection to his game. And so, like, if we're looking at like bust potential or whatever else, not him. One, he's got the body, he's got the speed, he's got the metrics, he's got the three cone, he's got the hands, he's got the production, and the dude just works his tail end off. You know, everybody talks about the combine where he stayed behind to keep running the three cone because he was, you know, whatever else. Like, that's who this guy is. And you're talking about the Washington room, the wide receiver room. Like, I had a second round grade on Jalen Polk. Jalen McMillan, like, I like him. Fourth round grade. This dude was an alpha among alphas already. Michael Pitt, like, the dude is just, I'm telling you, man, Pac-12 honor roll, like, on off the field. Like, it doesn't matter what this dude did. If it was ping pong, he would be the best at ping pong. Like, I want that uber competitive. This is me. I'm going to do whatever it is. Like, and everybody loves him. Like, you talk, like, they share stories, you know, about people meeting him off the field. Like, he is him. And he's Larry Fitzgerald, man. Like, he is Larry Fitzgerald. Wow. Any team, quarterback, dude. Any situation, just smooth. Like, this dude will elevate a team, period.
All right, so give me one second. I'm moving him up to 101 on my fantasy.
I'm telling you, man. Like,
I had him down at four, but
I put the most bust worthy, and like, I don't like doing that, but like, the safest player, regardless of position in this draft. If you just had to say this guy's going to have a 9-year career, and you know, two Pro Bowls. I don't know, whatever. Yeah. It's Roma Dunze.
So that's worth something, man, because I think a lot of people in dynasty drafts, they're going to be Marvin Harrison's going to be the number one, but then there might be people that are trying to decide between Odunze and neighbors. And there's something to be said about that safety net that's there, right? You can go with that. There's nothing wrong with drafting a guy who's a safe wide receiver two, even if it's just wide receiver two with wide receiver one upside. You know what I mean?
So, if you drafted Jalen Reagor over Justin Jefferson in the past, go get you a Roma Dunze, baby. He will tuck you in at night and you will sleep wonderfully.
All right, man, let's fly through some other wide receivers that you liked in particular when you saw him on film.
Yeah. Adonai Mitchell. I feel like he's the closest thing to Brandon Ayuk that we've had since Brandon Ayuk. Just space, speed, size. He's the truest like X wide receiver after we get through these. Now there's lots of deep threats that are these high speed kind of, you know, who's the Eagles guy, the tall, skinny, whatever, Devontae Smith. You know, you got Brian Thomas, Troy Franklin. Like, you've got those like crazy, just lanky speed dudes that could just be deep threats at any moment. And I'm not trying to be like negative towards them, but the NCAA is just pushing these types of guys out and throwing them at our face. And they're awesome. Brian Thomas is great. Those guys are fun. Now, some of the players I like a lot, Xavier Worthy in the right system could be the number one wide receiver in fantasy. He is the best deep threat in my own personal opinion, but terrible quarterback at Texas. Quinn Ewers, terrible, cannot throw the deep ball. And so we never really got to see the Xavier Worthy deep ball. Like, he is just gassing guys nonstop because he's a full route runner. Oh, what's up, Ava? So if Xavier Worthy lands, like, he's a crucial guy. If not, fade that dude. I really liked Roman Wilson out of Michigan. Just a complete guy. Like, if anybody could be the next Equanimous St. Brown type guy that just is compact, looks like a running back, complete dude, gets hit over the middle, doesn't care, does the dirty work, lunch pail. It's a Michigan guy. I could see him kind of sprouting up. Malachi Corley, everybody talks about. We'll see. Is he the next Corey Coleman? Or is he the next Deebo Samuel? And I don't think there's another Deebo, but man, you talk about somebody that cannot run a route tree. It's not his fault. Western Kentucky, the offense should be illegal. All they do, slant, hitch, post. Like, slant, hitch, post. Like, boom, boom, it's three routes. So we'll see with that. If I'm looking lots of upside. There's just a lot of really good guys in this draft at wide receiver. I think I graded 29 wide receivers, which is stupid, but there's going to be like 40 drafted. It's the most drafted position every year.
Yeah. What about, so something I've seen in the chat a few times already, Luke McCaffrey with Rice. What are you thinking?
I have a sixth rounder on him.
Go ahead. Just real quick, before you even answer that, what is with this, like, 49ers family reunion? We got Frank Gore's kid, Jerry Rice's kid, Christian McCaffrey's brother. This is like
Terrell Owens got a kid. Frank Gore's, like, I mean, this is nepotism draft, baby. Nepo babies for the win. Come on, man. Anyway. Spread some athleticism around to the rest of us. I can barely tie my shoes nowadays. I didn't like Luke McCaffrey near as much as other people. Now, he was a quarterback, and it did work, so he transitioned to wide receiver slot role. His testing was elite. The film is not that. I watched one game. I think it was Rice. I don't remember who they were playing. He went an entire quarter without making contact with another human being. And I was just like, how is this possible? Wow. Now, in Rice, they do runoff routes instead of stock blocking in the run game. And so, like, that's not his fault. All the wide receivers are taught to do that. But I'm just saying, he'll do whatever you want, but he is 100% a projection pick that does not have the production. His hands are great. His testing's incredible. I mean, he tested better than his brother. He's a better athlete than his brother is. But you watch the tape, and you're just like, I don't know. I can't find separation.
You just got to hope that, you know, he hasn't been playing wide receiver very long, and hopefully, I mean, he's not drafted very high in, like, dynasty leagues. He's one of those guys that I would like to play, take like a fourth round rookie pick flyer on and just pray that he goes into a guy. There's no risk to taking him in the last round of your
rookie. No, I've got a six round grade on him. And if he lands in a spot where he's the automatic slot guy, that'll work. Can he play outside? I don't think so. Sure. I don't think so. So.
Chat, man, this has been awesome. I know you got to hop. Do you have anything else? Anything else you wanted to chat on? Anything we missed? Anything like that?
Man, I the one thing that I would say is NFL teams care about a lot different things than fantasy people do. The character and the pass protection for running backs. I really wish fantasy people would take account of that, because if you don't pass protect, you don't play. Or you will just be a first, second down running back only. And so one of the things that I feel like I'm probably better at than most is when these guys get drafted, you pay attention to who can pass protect and who can't. That's your availability for being, you know, a three down back. If you don't run block, you're not going to get a wide receiver on the field very much unless they're a slot only. That limits their kind of, you know, volume. So pay attention to the complete player. And I think that paints a much better, optimistic picture for some of these players.
That's such a big point. I think coming into the draft, a lot of times there's people that say, oh, this running back's a terrific pass catcher. And that might be true. But if he can't protect the quarterback to begin with, he's not even going to be on the football field. And you can't catch passes if you're on the sideline. So, that's a great point, and something that fantasy football players need to, like you said, pay attention to the whole player, the whole package, not just whether or not the guy has good hands and good routes. You know,
that's what's up, man.
Chap, dude, This was awesome, man. Everybody who's listening, everybody who tuned in, really appreciate it. I'm literally like sweating because of how awesome this is. Part of that is I had a couple brats for lunch and it like, but man, this is awesome, Chap. Thanks for popping in here.
This is awesome, man. Appreciate you. Tanner, Mikey, you're the best. Hey, can't wait till we get to break bread together in person, man.
Heck yeah.
Dude, Lambeau Field. Let's make it happen this year. Lambeau Field.
Just saying.
All right.
First drinks on me always.
Sounds good, man. Except they're always on me too. So I gotta teach you the Wisconsin beer. So it's gotta be on me.
Oh, all right. This is happening.
Anyways, everybody, thanks for tuning in. John, thanks for popping on. Tanner, thanks for being here. And everybody who's listening, and everybody who's watching, can't thank you enough for being here. And we'll see you on the fantasy football field. What, we're gonna be back on Tuesday morning, Tanner. So we'll see you guys. Yep. We'll see you Tuesday morning.
See you guys.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.